whole new dimension on automobiles.
I own an automotive shop in here. I had a car tested with the emissions before I tried it, and I was, you know, was putting out like over 1,000 parts per million of just hydrocarbon. And I changed the oil and put in one liquid ring, and 200 miles later, the engine was only putting out about half that amount of hydrocarbon.
For more information on liquid ring or to place your order, call 1-800-205-6245. That's 1-800-205-6245. Liquid Ring is now available through the American Freedom Radio Network.
Well, I'm Stan here at the American Freedom Network, and our guest this morning is Avi Lipkin, or Victor Mordecai, you know, certainly one of my favorite guests. And incidentally, he's going to be speaking on the 4th of July, and we're both going to be there, and we're hoping that everybody in the listening audience is going to be at the picnic in the park in Johnstown, that is Johnstown, on the 4th of July. And, Victor, are you there?
Yes, sir. It's good to speak to you, Dr. Stan. It's been too long.
It has been. Well, certainly, you're back from Israel. I'm so glad that you're back on the speaking tour here in the United States. I was afraid you were going to get elected to the Knesset and we wouldn't be hearing from you again.
Well, you know, everything is in God's timing.
Amen to that. Well, tell us the things that you have to share with us, because you always have so much. Go ahead. I'll just be quiet.
How many hours do we have?
You've only got 1 hour now, but we're looking forward to your being with us there, or are being with you at that picnic, so we'll get a chance to talk there on the 4th of July.
Okay, well, at least we'll have 1 hour to rock and roll until the 4th of July.
Right.
Okay, well, good. Everything I would say is in light of, as you know, what's happening now in Gaza with this Shalit, Gilad Shalit, who has been kidnapped by the Palestinians. You know, many times you have a camel, and you can put a lot of straw on the back of the camel, and then there's that last straw that breaks the camel's back. And the kidnapping of this Gilad Shalit, this 19-year-old soldier, was the straw that broke the camel's back. You see, the Israeli withdrawal from Gaza, and, you know, I don't have to tell you, you know my position on this, that this was an unmitigated disaster. And but Israel made its decision, and it did it, and the hopes were that, you know, hey, after all, maybe we'll have peace with these Palestinians, and maybe if we withdraw from Judea and Samaria, we'll have peace with the Palestinians. And when we withdrew from Gaza, one of the reasons we withdrew from Gaza was because we knew that for the last 13, 14 years, the terrorists in Gaza had become expert tunnel diggers. And they were digging tunnels under the Israeli army positions and under the settlements. And what they were doing was they were digging tunnels and then putting, say, maybe half a ton or a ton of dynamite, TNT, underneath whatever area they wanted to target, and then blow it to kingdom come. And in fact, there was one such attack 3-4 years ago in which the Gazans dug a tunnel, and underneath, you know, from their positions, they dug a tunnel to an Israeli army position and blew it up and killed six Israeli soldiers. And from that, we came to the conclusion that there is no way that Israel can defend its positions in Gaza. So the Israeli army decided, the Israeli government decided, that our situation was untenable, that we had to pull the settlers out, we had to pull the Israeli army out. Now, I don't justify that, but the fact is I'm talking now as an Israeli army spokesman, at least former Israeli army spokesman, Israel said we cannot defend our positions. The Palestinians simply are capable of digging tunnels in the sandy earth underneath the positions of the Israeli army and then put in dynamite, which everything was being smuggled in from Egypt, by the way. You know, even to this day, the Gazans have these tunnels under the border with Egypt, and they're bringing in weapons and TNT and all kinds of stuff.
But then why is the United States funding Egypt, which is providing the weapons to kill the Israelis in Gaza? That doesn't make sense.
Well, the official line... No, I'll make sense for you, Dr. Stan. The official line is that Egypt is a peace partner, and also that there are certain things that Egypt is not in control of, and to a certain extent, it's true. I mean, after all, you know, Dr. Stan, that there were these terrorist attacks in Sharm el Sheikh and in Dahab and in northern Sinai. So, you know, the Egyptians are not really just like the Israelis. The Egyptians cannot hermetically stop terrorism, even against their own people and against their own tourism.
Yeah, but they could certainly stop, you know, the digging of the tunnels, and they could stop the, you know, the transportation of the explosives into that area if they really wanted to. Mubarak doesn't want to. We provide him $3 billion a year, and he uses it in part to help finance this effort to destroy Israel, which we're also financing. It doesn't make any sense unless there's another agenda.
Yeah, well, you know what? Let me add another point, sir. And you know me, I'm not a person who is fond of giving money to Egypt, a country which does everything it can to stab Israel in the back in international forums, and the Egyptian media is still anti-Semitic and still preaches war against Israel. But I will say one thing, that the United States, you know, and maybe I'll talk about this on July 4th at the picnic. The United States, I believe, played a very important role by financially supporting Egypt, in the sense that had the United States not been giving any money to the Egyptians, the United States would not have had any leverage. The United States has been giving Egypt $2 billion a year for the last 30 years, and therefore the United States has had some leverage, I would say just about enough leverage to prevent wars from breaking out a number of times. And I've spoken about this in the conferences, the meetings that we've had on the July 4th, and other radio shows and things that American Freedom Radio Network has, and your programs. The Egyptians, a number of times, nearly went to war with Israel, especially in November of 1996. And the United States and other Western powers intervened very effectively to prevent the war from breaking out. At this time, I think the Egyptians are kind of understanding that they have a problem also, like the Israelis have a problem with this Al-Qaeda. There are areas in Sinai where the Egyptian army dares not to go because the Al-Qaeda has infiltrated so many terrorists. You know what, sir? It's like the Taliban in Afghanistan, or it's like areas maybe in Pakistan, or areas maybe in the Triangle in Iraq, where, you know, American and Western troops don't have necessarily an easy time. So the Egyptians, defending the Egyptians, I'm just saying they do not have an easy time with these Al-Qaeda and even the Palestinians themselves. By the way, the terrorist attacks that took place in Egypt a few months ago were done by Palestinians who were living in Egypt, and the Palestinians attack even their own fellow Muslims who are kind to them and give them asylum. They bite the hand that feeds them. This is the nature of Islam. This is the nature of these terrorists. So, like I said before, the Egyptians have a problem, like the Israelis do, with this Al-Qaeda terrorism. The Egyptians cannot necessarily have more success than the Israelis. You know, the Israelis could not stop these tunnels either. Anyway, the point I wanted to say is that, getting back to my original discussion, was that Israel withdrew from Gaza. Israel thought that this would... we got a break. Israel thought that this would bring peace and quiet, at least temporarily, and Israel has been proven fatally wrong.
We'll be back in just a moment here with Victor Mordecai.
Constitutional Moments are brought to you throughout the day through the generosity of C&C Prototype Machine, Boulder, Colorado. Henry Hirsch Trucking says drugs and alcohol pose a threat that is real. The damaging effects can touch all of us at some time. Remember, strong family values, open lines of communication, and positive role models are the tools to keep our families healthy and drug-free. This message is from Henry Hirsch Trucking. They're serving the area with quality and pride for 58 years. Local and long-distance haulers, dependable service at reasonable rates. Give them a call at 482-3626. That's 482-3626. Henry Hirsch Trucking is on the air wishing all of our kids a safe and healthy 4th of July summer season. We the people of the United States, in order to form a more perfect union, establish justice, ensure domestic tranquility, provide for the common defense, promote the general welfare, and secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, do ordain and establish this Constitution for the United States of America.
Pure drinking water is essential to a healthy life. and everyone using the British Birkfield and Berkey series of water filters will benefit by adding the PF4 reduction elements to their system. The PF4 works to help absorb MTBE, fluoride, lead, and arsenic, as well as DBCPs, THMs, and various pesticides and herbicides, and heavy metal ions. A set of four PF4 filters are available for only $85 plus shipping and handling. Call 1-800-205-6245.
The Beth Messiah Congregation invites you to come and experience a Messianic Roots, biblically-based congregational fellowship as we observe God's Shabbat in Messiah Yeshua. Praise and worship services begin at 10:30 a.m., followed by an Oneg Shabbat meal, Midrash, and fellowship. Beth Messiah Congregation is located at 8333 Acoma Way in North Denver. You can find out more information by calling 1-800-205-6245. Everyone's welcome, so join us this Shabbat. And Shabbat Shalom, good Sabbath.
Well, understand here at the American Freedom Network, and our guest this morning, Victor Mordecai, and Victor was saying that, of course, one of the reasons why the Jews decided to pull out of Gaza was because they felt it was an indefensible position, and of course, it's been a disaster ever since they pulled out. Pick up the story there, please.
Yes, indeed. So what happened was that the Israelis thought that by being nice, playing nice with the people of Gaza, with the Palestinians, that this would buy time. And it would buy time, it might improve peace prospects. But again, what the U.S. government doesn't understand, and what the world doesn't understand, and what the Israeli government doesn't understand, because the Israeli government is a godless, secular government, is that the nature of the beast, the nature of the enemy attacking Israel, is of a religious nature. So, for example, you could be an atheist from now to kingdom come, but the guys who are going to kill you are religious people. And when you hand over land to them, they see that as a victory in their religious battle against the infidel, against the Jew and the Christian. So it's kind of like, you know, sir, you go to the beach, and you go swimming, and you see a shark coming at you. And if you throw a few sirloin steaks at the shark will eat those steaks, and then the shark will not say, you know, have a good day and go away. No, the shark will go into a feeding frenzy. And then the shark will even will have more reason to come after you. So this is exactly what Israel has done. Israel is guilty of an unmitigated disaster by withdrawing from Gaza. And so the Palestinians said, hey, we beat the Jews. We beat the infidels. And when Israel withdrew from Lebanon, hey, we beat the Jews. We beat the Israelis. And many people say that the arrogance of the Muslims, the madness of the Muslims to attack and attack and attack, is because they are successful every time. Israel withdrew from Lebanon. Israel withdrew from Gaza. Israel withdrew from certain areas in Samaria. And what is the ideology of Ehud Olmert? We will continue to withdraw. We will create a wall, and everything on the other side will be the Palestinian areas. We will uproot 80,000 Jews from their homes, destroy their homes, including perhaps mine and my son's, And then there'll be peace. What peace? Whoever thinks that is crazy. So Ehud Olmert, if he thinks that, he's crazy. So the question is, where are we going from now? After we pulled out of Gaza, you know, the American public does not know that there were 600 Qassam rockets fired into Sderot and other areas alongside Gaza. So not only did we not, and by the way, we destroyed all our settlements in Gaza. 8,000 Jewish people were kicked out of their homes. These people are still not settled today in new homes. They do not have jobs. People who were productive members of society, producing 40% of Israel's agriculture, are all unemployed now. Very, very few of them have been given solutions. The Israeli government did a very, very mean and sloppy job when it came to taking care of the 8,000. What are you going to do with 80,000 people? So I can't understand how Olmert talks about withdrawing and kicking out 80,000 people from their homes. And by the way, when they destroyed a number of these settlements in the northern part of Sinai, the Gazans went into the areas where the houses were destroyed and are now firing rockets to Ashkelon. Ashkelon is a big city in Israel, and they've been smuggling Grad Katyusha rockets from Egypt into Gaza, and they can fire these rockets into Ashkelon, which is a big city in Israel. We have, by the way, in Ashkelon, an electrical generating plant. If they hit the generating plant, they knock out our electrical generating capacities. We have in Ashkelon also reservoirs there of very, very poisonous chemicals. If one of these rockets hits the poisonous chemicals reservoirs, the people of Ashkelon could be killed by chemical death. What are we waiting for?
Sometimes when you look at what's going on today, nothing makes any sense unless there's some other sort of an agenda there. So much of what's going on today is totally irrational.
Well, again, I think the problem here is the misconception that if you are good to the Palestinians, they'll be good to you. The problem with the Palestinians is when you are good to them, they will be worse to you because they see the goodness that you're doing for them as a sign of weakness. It's a sign of defeat. And Olmert made a very, very big mistake. He made a speech in which he said, "We Jews are tired of being heroes. We Jews are tired of fighting." Hey, listen, that's music to the ears of the Muslims, because don't forget, you had something called the Crusaders 1,000 years ago, and the Crusaders fought the Muslims for 200 years, and one day, almost by mistake, Saladin defeated King Richard the Lionhearted. That was the end of the Crusades. So what the Arabs are waiting for is for these Jews to say, "We're tired, we give up." What Olmert is saying, "We're tired, we give up. We will give up the land." And I personally think that when you do that with the Palestinians and they become harsher, then in the end the result is we will have to be even harsher. So, but it's not that... in church there's a saying that God's foolishness is greater than man's wisdom. So what Olmert was trying to do was man's wisdom, that if we are nice to the Palestinians, if we withdraw, it increases the peace prospects. But that is completely, completely fallacious.
Well, I won't disagree with you at all. I think what's going on over there, though, is part of a much larger process, which I fear is going to eventually a result in just the whole Middle East going up in a sheet of flame.
Well, let me say, sir, that now you lead me to the next point, which is, of course, Iran. In other words, we all know that the world cannot allow Iran to have nuclear weapons. When you have a mentally ill president like Ahmadinejad, who thinks that if he dies for Allah, he gets 72 virgins, that's pretty psychotic and mentally ill. And anybody who thinks that Israel can be destroyed, and he says very clearly, Israel has to be erased from the map. The Hamas people, the Hezbollah in Lebanon, the Syrians, all think that Israel has to be erased. It's part of what is known as the Islamic religion. Now, by the way, I have to correct myself. I preach in the Christian churches and in the synagogues that Islam is not a religion at all. Islam is a psychosis. Islam is a sickness. It is a sickness of death. It is a sickness in which they believe they can conquer the earth. It is a sickness in which they believe that they can kill 5/6 of the human race. All the Jews, Christians, Hindus, and Buddhists, and black people. Kill all of them if they don't become Muslims. And then once you're a Muslim, what happens? You think you're safe? The Sunnis and the Shiites kill each other until there are no more human beings left because their God is Satan. The only thing that Satan is interested in is killing every human being on the face of the earth because all human beings are created in the image of God. And I want to say here, and I don't want any listener to think that I hate the Muslims. I love them. I used to hate the Germans. Now I love them. I've come to understand the German people are good people, but Nazis are crazy people. Russians are good people, but communists are crazy people. Again, why? Because they have a triumphalist system, which is anti-Semitic and anti-Christian. They want to kill the human race and conquer the earth. This is a psychosis that we see repeating itself again and again and again through human history. So Islam sees the destruction of Israel as part of its plan. Israel sees the destruction of America. By the way, America, the great Christian Satan in the eyes of Islam. So this is a religious war. Olmert doesn't get it. I think the President of the United States, yes, he does get it. The question is, as President of the United States, he has to maneuver between all these different factions and all these different considerations. But the fact that Olmert is does not believe in God, that Olmert does not believe that that Israel has a certain destiny that God has decided, and that he's going to divide the land. I think these are things that are going to bring about the exact opposite result from the Palestinians, who see all of this as a sign of weakness.
Well, I fear that really we're in for some very difficult times in the Middle East, no matter what happens And I almost feel that we're following a timetable over there. I was reading something that Henry Kissinger apparently had told the Palestinians, you know, back in the 70s, you know, that just be patient, you know, one day why Israel will become a very, very small little peaceful nation, and, you know, just be patient, eventually it'll get smaller and smaller, and then we won't have anything to worry about, and Israel will be able to live in peace with the Palestinians. And here was Henry Kissinger, supposedly, you know, the friend of Israel, setting it up to be betrayed. And Israel has given up most of the land that they controlled, you know, after the last wars.
And Kissinger is a Jew.
I know. Well, I don't believe, I mean, he may profess to be Jewish, but I believe he worships a different God than the God of the Jews.
He doesn't worship any God, sir. By the way, I want to tell you something. I know we have a break coming up soon, but I'm going to throw a real curveball at you now, Dr. Stan.
Okay.
and you know what? I preach this in the churches. You know, as a Jew, I'm not a Christian, but I'm a Jew who loves Jesus. I love Jesus. For me, he was a great rabbi. He was my, you know, for you guys, he's your father. For me, he's my brother. You know the song, he's my brother. And I love him very much. And I love to read the New Testament. I love to study his word. And by the way, you know, 40% of the New Testament is Torah, is Old Testament, and 40% of the New Testament is Jewish ethics. Everything that is said there, the apostles and Jesus, these are things that the rabbis say in the Talmud, by the way. So it's a subject apart. You know, one day I was dreaming to write a book about this, but maybe one day. But what I'm saying is, in the churches, I talk about the Passion of Christ, the movie by Mel Gibson.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the Jews were protesting and protesting and protesting that it's an anti-Semitic movie, but the fact is, the more they protested, the more the Muslims flocked to see it, thinking that it was an anti-Semitic movie, which it isn't. And what did they see? They saw Jesus of Nazareth speaking in Aramaic. And this is a slap in the face for the Muslims, because for the Muslims, Jesus comes back a second time as an Arabic-speaking Muslim warrior to slit the throats of all the Jews and Christians. So all of a sudden, they see a Jesus there who is beloved of the people. Jesus is not hated by the people. And in fact, the reason Jesus was crucified, when you think about it, was because the people loved him too much, and he was perceived as a threat by certain Jewish leaders who were allied with Rome. So now I'm coming to the punchline, sir. Jesus was not killed because he was hated by the Jews, and it wasn't the Jews who killed Jesus. It was the Kissingers of that time who killed Jesus. You understand where I'm going with this?
Okay, go ahead.
So, for example, the Protestants dropped this baloney that the Jews are Christ killers years, you know, centuries ago. The Catholics dropped it 40 years ago with the Nostra Aetate. And so I commend the Vatican for coming out of that sin 40 years ago. But, you know, the Russian and Greek churches still preach the Jews are Christ killers. And so what I'm saying is the Jews love Jesus. The Jews didn't kill Jesus. It was Kissinger who killed Jesus. You know, the Kissingers of that time.
Yeah,
those
Pharisees,
who were allied with
Pharisees.
The one-world government of Rome.
Right.
And today we have a one-world government, too. I knew that was what you were alluding to. But what I wanted to talk about, and I am watching the clock as we speak, so I know that the break will be coming up at some time soon. But what I want to say is, when we're talking about Gaza, you know, you're saying you can't understand why the Israelis patience with the Palestinians. They launched 600 rockets into Israel, and then now the kidnapping of two Israeli settlers, the assassination of an 18-year-old kid, a bullet in the head, and now they have this Israeli soldier. Israel could not take it anymore, and it was the straw that broke the camel's back. But what I've been saying all along in radio shows and in churches is that Israel shows restraint for a simple reason, that we are not looking at Gaza as an existential threat to Israel, but as a nuisance. The existential threat is from Iran. And I believe very soon we will be seeing the United States and the allies, which includes Israel, by the way, dealing with Iran, dealing with Syria, because you cannot have a successful end to the democratic experiment in Iraq and in Afghanistan until Iran and Syria have a regime change. This will sound terrible to many Americans, because I know a lot of your listeners are the most wonderful, patriotic, godly people in the world, who have family members there on the other side of the earth fighting these crazy Muslims. But this is a world war. It is a war of systems. It is a war of clash of civilizations. And the Syrians and the Iranians are infiltrating homicide bombers into Iraq. and Afghanistan to kill as many Muslims as possible, to create civil wars there, so that it will be impossible ever to bring democracy to these peoples. And I commend President George Bush. Listen, I got plenty of things to complain about the president, but he is God's point man in the war on Islam. And, you know, George W. says, no, this is a war against terrorism, not against Islam. But you ask any Muslim, you know, beauty is in the eyes of the beholder. Ask any Muslim, and they will say this is a war against Islam. And you want to know something? It is, because democracy and Islam are the antithesis values.
And we'll be back in just a few moments here with Victor, and we'll be asking a few insightful questions, and let's see where we're going for this discussion.
Brightside Health Food Store. I believe my ministry is to help heal the sick and that God is allowing me to reach people through superior products. StressX has over 45 years of research by 1,200 scientists and 3,300 studies. StressX has proven itself superior when compared to other products and passes all requirements for Olympic athletes. Call me at 303-833-2784 to find out how StressX boosts your energy, improves performance, increases endurance, and provides greater mineral alertness. That's 303-833-2784.
Rocky Mountain Shooters, your supplier of both new and used guns, handling all major brands with over 350 guns in inventories. We'll take your guns in on trade or purchase them outright. Come in, see us first. 1/4 mile west of I-25 on Mulberry Street in Fort Collins. We're also the largest gun safe dealer in the region. We carry a full line of Security National and Liberty safes for your home, office, cabin, or RV use. Whatever your needs, we have the unit for you. Located 1/4 mile west of I-25 on Mulberry Street. Come see us at Rocky Mountain Shooter Supply.
16 of 16 terminally ill cancer patients fully recovered during a 1934 study sponsored by Dr. Milbank Johnson and the University of Southern California using Dr. Royal Rife's frequency generator. Rife invented the world's most powerful optical microscope capable of seeing a living virus. With it, he isolated bacteria and viruses that cause many diseases, such as asthma, allergies, arthritis, bronchitis, colitis, diabetes, Epstein-Barr, fibromyalgia, herpes, lupus, migraines, shingles, staph, strep, psoriasis, and more. Rife then found the frequencies that would destroy many viruses and bacteria. Doctors used Rife's instrument in the 1930s, 40s, and 50s and reported very high success rates. To receive the historic one-hour documentary about Dr. Royal Raymond Rife's lifelong quest to eliminate disease, call 1-888-486-4420. Call now for the free video and brochure about Rife's amazing discoveries. Call 1-888-486-4420 now.
They fight for freedom and justice, battling the most notorious evil villains the world has ever known.
My baby! Save him!
From far-off galaxies to the depths of the Earth, they face unspeakable foes that no one else dare. Banded together under one name, Batman, Robin, Wonder Woman, The Flash, and Green Lantern are the Justice League to help launch the 45th anniversary celebration of Six Flags, the biggest and best year that Six Flags has ever had. Don't miss the Island Kingdom Water Park with more than 11 great wet and wild rides and attractions, the new Daily Bugs Bunny Parade Spectacular, the all-new Carnival de Fuego Fireworks Show, and the amazing Acrobats of China. With all these amazing shows and rides, a trip to Six Flags Elitch Gardens is the most out of this universe fun your family can get in one non-stop action-packed day. Plus, meet and thank all of your favorite members of the Justice League for ridding the world of evildoers.
Curse you, Justice League!
Get your discount tickets at SixFlags.com. Six Flags Elitch Gardens. More than a theme park, it's an experience.
Well, I guess this morning, Victor Mordecai. And what are your thoughts? Do you think that America is going to attack Iran within the next few months? Do you think it's going to be put off? Certainly, what I get from some of the people on the inside is that they're trying to destabilize the country. And what most people don't understand is there are actually armed insurrections in at least four of the provinces there of Iran. The United States is financing the opposition. There is certainly, we're beaming in all sorts of radio and exposed television and to influence the attitude of the people and try to get the moderates to rise up against the existing government. Do you think that we're going to do everything we can to destabilize Iran before we take the military option? What are your thoughts about what the future holds?
Well, I think that it's a flip of a coin, meaning I believe you are 100% right that, that the United States and the Allies are doing all kinds of things in Iran to overthrow the regime, and that really that the solution to Iran's problem is regime change. 70%, but on the other hand, there is a military question. I'll talk in a minute about the military question, but first I want to talk about the situation in Iran.
All right, fine.
Iran is a country of, as you said very, very correctly, has many, many ethnic minorities. Actually, the Shiite Parsis, they're the minority in the country. You have, for example, in the southeastern part of the country, you have an area called Baluchistan. And Baluchistan is Sunni. And they're much more, actually, ethnically, they're closer to the Pakistanis and the Afghans. The Baluchis have been fighting the central government in Tehran for generations. You know, many of these borders were set up by Western imperial powers contrary to the will of the local inhabitants. By the way, you have this in Sudan, where the north is Muslim and the south is Christian. And basically, Sudan is two different peoples completely.
And it should be two different countries, and that's the only way you're ever going to have peace.
Exactly. And some people say that even Iraq is a perfect example of how the borders were very, very incorrectly drawn, because the Shiites in the south have nothing to do with the Sunnis in the center of the country, and the Kurds in the north are completely different people, too.
Well, you know, I believe this was set up intentionally after the First World War by Winston Churchill so that it would always be a country in conflict, so they would need a powerful leader, so that Great Britain would be able to manipulate the whole thing. And then, of course, when Great Britain withdrew, why, we financed one dictator after another, because there's no way you can get these three conflicting areas to live in peace. And if we really wanted peace over there, we'd divide it into three parts and let the people have their own governments instead of intentionally trying to force them together and ensuring conflict and civil war.
What you said, sir, is very profound and very correct, and I agree with you 100%. Hey, can we think about something we don't agree about? Why do I have to agree with you on everything?
Well, all I can say is you are very insightful, so go ahead.
You know what? In high school, I used to have a physics teacher, and he used to say, you're a man of astute perspicacity and innate intellectual ability, and then he'd take a breath, and then he'd say, you're a gentleman and a scholar, and there's so few of us nowadays. anyway, very, very correctly. The Iranian state, as we know it today, is a country. It's a hodgepodge of all these different ethnic groups that all hate each other and all fight each other, and they can only be kept together under very, very terrible military and police pressure. Like I was talking about the Baluchis, for example, in the southeast. You have the Azeris, who are blood relatives and religious relatives of the Muslims in Azerbaijan. That's another group that's being suppressed. In the southwestern corner, you have Khuzestan, or Arabistan, which is what Saddam Hussein was trying to conquer in his terrible, terrible war with Iran between 1980 and 1988. This is an Arabic-speaking minority. They're Shiites, by the way, like the Iranians, but they're Arabic-speaking, and the Arabic-speaking peoples consider themselves Semites. And the Iranians are Indo-European group, and they hate each other for ethnic tribal reasons. By the way, you know, what happened was the Iranians were sending in terrorists into Basra, for example, to kill British troops. And so the British said, oh, you want to play games? So the SAS, which is the British commandos, went over to Khuzestan, to Ahwaz. Ahwaz is the capital city of Khuzestan. It's the oil-producing area of Iran, by the way. And they started sending off bombs, you know. So the British were also destabilizing in Ahwaz. The Baluchis, you don't have to help them too much because they know what they're doing. The Azeris have their own program. What I want to do is I want to switch over to the campuses in Tehran, where we're talking, I would say, primarily about Iranian Farsi-speaking people. And what is happening, firstly, every home in Iran has a satellite dish. So everyone in Iran is watching Fox and CNN and all the Western stations. The Iranian people are not a stupid people, and they're not a bad people. By the way, if you know your Bible, sir, you know that Cyrus was called the Mashiach. He was called the Messiah by the Jews because he sent the Jews home to rebuild the temple, and he sent them home with a guard of soldiers and gold and silver. And Cyrus blessed the Jews abundantly. So for us, Cyrus, the Persian emperor, was considered the Mashiach, the Messiah. Mordecai and Esther were the prime minister and queen of Persia, respectively. Can you imagine a Jewish prime minister and a Jewish queen in Iran? Haman, the evil one, was not really even an Iranian. Haman was descended from Agag in Amalek. He was an Arab. By the way, he's a blood relative of the Jews. He wasn't Iranian. Once he was dispatched, we didn't have a problem with the Iranian people, the Persian people. If you know also your history in the medieval period, in 614 AD, the Iranian pagan Zoroastrian army invaded the Holy Land, and they defended the Jews from the Byzantines. The Byzantines were behaving very badly with the Jews in 614, and the Iranians, the Persians, were seen as liberators of the Jews. And we had a pretty good time for 24 years. As a matter of fact, we Jewish people were thinking of rebuilding the Third Temple with the help of the Iranians. Again, you know, deja vu. As Yogi Berra used to say, deja vu all over again. Rebuild the temple, third time. But that was stopped by Omar al-Khattab. Omar al-Khattab was the Muslim Arab invader from Arabia who conquered Jerusalem in 638. So he defeated the Zoroastrian army. And that was basically the beginning of the end of Iran. Once you defeat the Zoroastrian army, you can go all the way across Iraq and Iran, and that's where they conquered Iran. So the Iranians were our allies. The Iranians were our allies until 1979, until the stupid Jimmy Carter brought down America and Israel's only friend in the Islamic world at that time. The Shah of Iran was the cornerstone of Western part of the Cold War against Russia. Iranians were allies of Israel in the West. The Shah of Iran was a steadfast ally. By the way, the nuclear project in Iran was started under the Shah of Iran with the help of the U.S. and the Israelis. That's one of the pointers as to what you said earlier, which is very correct, that we have to be very, very careful when you come with weapons of mass destruction with any country in the world, because if you have an unstable anti-democratic system, and you have a regime change, and all of a sudden you have some crazy Muslims coming in, the moment they get their hands on nuclear weapons, the first thing they're going to do is use it against Israel and destroy Jerusalem.
Amen to that. And that's exactly what I foresee happening with Pakistan, Paul. Well, we'll be back in just a moment here.
Tapes of the preceding show are available by calling 1-800-205-6245, the American Freedom Network. American Biotech Labs, a world leader in silver technology, introduces Silverbiotics, a patented silver supplement that's the ultimate immune system support. Doctor recommended and a natural alternative. Dr. Ken Friedman, a medical research writer and author of the book The New Silver Solution, states, Silverbiotics is 96.8% bioavailable and can safely be used every day to support a healthy immune system. To order your Silverbiotics, call 1-800-205-6245. That's 1-800-205-6245.
Friends and neighbors, come one, come all. It's the American Freedom Network's annual 4th of July picnic. We're going to start the day Tuesday, July the 4th, about 7 a.m. with a special prayer breakfast at Johnson's Corners with Dr. Stan Monteith. Then we'll hit the park in Johnstown about 10:30 for barbecue, music, and fun, plus guest speakers Dr. Stan Monteith and Avi Lipkin, and all your favorite talk show hosts. We hope to see you there. For more information, call 1-800-205-6245.
Are you trying to make sense of a world gone mad? Can rising interest rates, huge budget and trade deficits, American jobs shift to China, and open borders really be good for America? Can a collapsing dollar, skyrocketing fuel prices, minimum wage jobs, and a wrecked social security system really lead us into economic prosperity? Who's going to buy your 401k as the baby boomers retire, selling out 70% of the U.S. equity markets when they go? Don't get caught holding the bag. Call the Patriot Trading Group at 480-575-7525. We offer all forms of gold and silver shipped and delivered at the utmost privacy at the most competitive pricing in the country. Nobody does it better. Call 480-575-7525 and we'll be happy to quote your prices or send you out a free brochure. Remember, hard assets will be there when all else fails. Call 480-575-7525 and you'll be treated with honesty and respect. You've got my word on it. I'm Eric Cederstrom, CEO, shipping clerk, and janitor. Thank you. Thank you very much.
Well, Dr. Stan back here at the American Freedom Network, and our guest this morning, Victor Mordecai, and we're talking about Iran. And basically, what most Americans don't understand is that in all of these outlying provinces, whether it be Baluchistan, the Rajahs, or the others, there are about four different provinces where there are actually uprisings that are taking place today. So we really don't understand what is taking place in Iran, other than the fact, I will tell you, that our government plans, at least their hope, is to destabilize this country and change the regime without having to go to war. But the question is, what is going to happen? So with that as the background, you pick up the story there.
Okay. So what I wanted to do now was to go back to what we were saying before the break, that the Iranian people have satellite dishes. The Iranian people are not stupid people. They're good people. And 70 to 80% of the people want a regime change. The problem, and again, I hate to come across as somebody who supports the President of the United States, but the fact is I do, because the President of the United States was the man who liberated the Afghans from this crazy, crazy Taliban al-Qaeda regime. It was the President of the United States who liberated the people of Iraq, who are good people, or shall I say the three peoples of Iraq, from Saddam Hussein. The Iraqis could not do it by themselves. You needed the U.S. to go in and clean up the shop. So now the same applies to Iran. 80% of the people do not like the regime, but the people cannot do anything. Why? Because there's a group called the Pasdaran. The Pasdaran are the Iranian Revolutionary Guards. These are the Gestapo. These are the SS of the mullahs. Now, I don't know if you remember, sir, but about 2-3 years ago, they're having these demonstrations in the Iranian campuses, and there was something called the opposition. You had moderates, and you had elections, and basically all of these people were killed. The Pasdaran went in, these Nazi Gestapo agents, they went into the campuses, and they killed everybody who opposed the regime. So now the Iranians are saying, hey, you know, you open your mouth, you're dead the next day. Now, you know, most normal human beings are not stupid, and they don't want to die. And if you open your mouth and they kill you, so you're dead, and they've won. So what we need here is what is known as force majeure. We need somebody like President Bush, or I know a lot of your listeners, a lot of listeners to the show are going to get angry with me for saying this, because America, it's always America that has to do the job. Why can't any other country take a leading role in liberating the people? It's always America. But the fact is that I believe that the coalition knows where these Pasdaran live. There may be 2,000-3,000 of them. If you destroy the Pasdaran, the people will come into the streets. If the people come into the streets, the regime will fall. People will only come out into the streets if they are reassured they will not die. I think that, like in the case of Afghanistan, if you remember, at the beginning of the fall of the Taliban, that you had something called the Northern Alliance. And the Northern Alliance was a conglomerate of a number of tribal groups that were backed by the coalition. And then eventually you had more and more direct military involvement from the West. But what I think we're going to see is, as you said, you have these various ethnic groups. By the way, we didn't talk about the Kurds at all. The Kurds are also a group in Iran, and that are chafing. By the way, you know what? I want to go off for a second in another direction and come back.
Okay.
The Kurds, you know, it's really something I have to tell you. I just flew in from London the day before yesterday, and I went into the duty-free shop at Heathrow Airport before I got on the plane, and I bought a certain cologne that I like very much, and aftershave cologne. And the guy who sold it to me was a representative of the company, and he said, "Can I help you, sir?" I said, "Oh, yes, I love this cologne." And all the women, you know, in the kind of job that I do, forgive me for talking like this on your show, but I hug and kiss a lot of men and women, you know. I mean, I'm a Latin American. My parents were from Argentina, and I love to hug and kiss people, you know. And people always say, the women always say, that cologne is really devastating. It's really wonderful. So I bought this cologne. And he says, I said to him, I love this cologne. You know, I've used dozens of different colognes, and this is the cologne that, the only one I ever heard people, women say that this is a luscious cologne, you know. It turns out he's a Kurd. I sat there for half an hour. I almost missed my plane. We're talking about Kurdistan. And you see, everybody's talking about the Palestinians. They need a state. And the Kurds and Palestinians are about 3 million in Israel today. The Kurds are 20 million people, and the Kurds don't have a state. And the Kurds are divided into five different countries, Turkey, Syria, Iraq, Iran, and the former Soviet Union. The Kurds, I think, are the most mistreated people on the face of the earth, maybe after the Jews. And by the way, the Kurds have been allies of the Jews from day one. Israel and the Kurds have always had a fantastic, although secret, relationship. And so I was sitting with this Kurd. We were talking about, you know, I said to him, if I were Prime Minister of Israel, the first thing I would do, and I said, I don't care about the Turks. I know a lot of Israelis get angry for saying this. I would support the Kurds. The Kurds have to have a state. There are 20 million of them. They have to have a state. He said there are 20 million Kurds in Turkey alone, you know, out of the 70 million population. The Kurds are the biggest losers in those five countries. Every country in which they're a minority, they're suppressed by the majority. The Kurds should have their own state. And if I were Prime Minister of Israel, I would cut out portions of Turkey, Syria, Iraq, Iran, and the former Soviet Union and create a tremendous Kurdish nation. Because these people deserve to have their own country. Anyway, you have in Iran, Kurdistan. Iranian Kurdistan. And by the way, I know from my information, everybody's always denying it. And, you know, on American Freedom Radio, we talk about things that everybody else is denying. But there are Israeli special ops and there are American special ops filtering in and out of Iran through Kurdistan all the time. So I believe that at a certain given moment, all of these coalition ethnic groups are going to rise up against the central government in Iran. And the Iranian government will be overthrown. And now, the next question is this. As I said before, the nuclear project in Iran was actually started by the Shah of Iran, with the help of the Israelis and the Americans, because Iran was seen as a stalwart ally against Russia, against communism. I don't know exactly what Iran wants to do after the regime change, but I think that any Iranian regime is going to want nuclear weapons.
Hang on there. We'll be back in just a moment or two here at the American Freedom Network.
Bill of Rights, Article 1. Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of a religion, or prohibiting the free exercise thereof, or abridging the freedom of speech or of the press, or the right of the people peaceably to assemble and to petition the government for a redress of grievances. Article 2. A well-regulated militia, being necessary to the security of a free state, the right of the people to keep and bear arms, shall not be infringed.
Pain, it can really affect your day. If you're looking for a natural way to help with your pain, Healthy Nature's NutriPain may be just for you. Whole dried herbs are specially blended to help ease your muscles or sore joints. A 60-capsule bottle is just $12.95 plus shipping and handling. Call 1-800-205-6245 and ask for Healthy Nature's NutriPain.
American Biotech Labs, a world leader in silver technology, introduces Silver Biotics, a patented silver supplement that's the ultimate immune system support. Doctor recommended and a natural alternative. Dr. Ken Friedman, a medical research writer and author of the book The New Silver Solution, states Silver Biotics is 96.8% bioavailable and can safely be used every day to support a healthy immune system. To order your Silver Biotics, call 1-800-205-6245. That's 1-800-205-6245.
Buffalo Bill Cody, frontiersman, buffalo hunter, showman, not exactly a guy who was easily entertained. That's why he spent so much time in Denver. There was always something going on, just like today. From world-class sports, shopping, performing arts, museums, and restaurants, Denver has it all. Why go anywhere else? Invite your family to experience a Mile High Energy, too. Find visitor specials for the holidays, New Year's, and beyond at denver.org. sponsored by the Denver Metro Convention and Visitors Bureau and aired in cooperation with the Colorado Broadcasters Association and this station.
Well, Dr. Schumann here, and I lost track of the time. I never do that, but I was so fascinated with what Avi is saying because of the information we have from very reliable inside sources is that this is the plan, and all the talk about an attack on Iran is simply to keep people confused. Now, I'm not saying that we may not be having a war in the Middle East, because nothing is logical. If you understand everything is illogical, then everything makes sense, because if you're looking for human logic behind what's going on, why it's not there. But you see, there are other forces, powerful spiritual forces, that I think are moving the world towards World War III. When it's going to come about, I don't know. But I think Avi is absolutely right about what's going on in Iran today. And we are, have our forces are in there operating. Israeli forces are in there operating. There are armed uprising in at least four of the provinces there in Iran, and you're not getting any news of this, of what's really going on behind the scenes. Your reality is being created by the people who control the media. And they determine what you think, what you hear, what you see, and ultimately what you believe. So understand that what's really going on in Iran today, keep your eyes fixed on that area, though, because I think it's going to determine what's going to happen here in the United States. Well, anyway, I'm really looking forward to seeing Avi or Victor at the 4th of July picnic, and we're looking forward to seeing you as well. I'll bring along copies of my book, Brotherhood of Darkness, and some of the syllabuses that we have going into the financial tsunami, which is what I'm going to be talking about in the afternoon, and haven't really decided what we're going to talk about in the early morning, but hopefully we'll have something worthwhile for you. We certainly hope that many of you out there will go to our website at RadioLiberty.com, that you'll want to get our material, that you'll help us to circulate it. You're welcome to copy anything that we have produced. To really begin to see how this all fits together, let me suggest a video we carry, or DVD, The Secret Mysteries of America's Beginning, Megiddo 1, Megiddo 2, certainly my talk on the Brotherhood of Darkness, on Iraq, The Untold Story, on the population control reduction agenda, or planned population reduction. You have to understand that so much of what's going on is anti-human. They really do intend to kill off the majority of the people in the world. That we're up against organized evil, which is very well funded and involves many of the most wealthy people in the world today. So again, our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. Our webpage is www.radioliberty.com. That's RadioLiberty.com. Of course, we do hope that many of you may even want to join the Radio Liberty family of supporters and help us as we reach out 5 hours every day across America, trying to make people understand we're involved in a spiritual battle being fought on a political, ideological, and cultural battlefield. But it really is a spiritual battle for the souls of men and the survival of Christian civilization. And behind everything going on, there are powerful forces. I kept asking Avi, what's going on in Israel? It doesn't make sense. Kissinger was telling people back in the 70s, the Palestinians, that Israel would be reduced to a very small state. It's exactly what's happened. It's taken almost 30 years to fulfill what Kissinger had laid out. Now, I believe that Kissinger is part of this world satanic movement. I believe that whether knowingly or unknowingly, he is part and parcel of this supernatural force working behind the scenes. And well, we're out of time. Our number 1-800-544-8927. Until tomorrow, we'll be with you once again. Dr. Stan, goodbye, and may the Lord be with you.
Now you can reach the American Freedom Network at our new P.O. Box, 1750 Johnstown, Colorado, 80534, or online at AmeriFree.com. The American Freedom Network is not funded or supported by special interest groups
or government programs. The American Freedom Network is not sponsored by advertisers demanding content or programming control. The American Freedom Network is solely funded by you, the listener. Please help keep the American Freedom Network on the air by purchasing one of our sponsors' fine products or by calling 1-800-205-6245 to make a donation. The American Freedom Network needs your help.